today on Compassion Radio.
Since about the mid-1980s, there have been a majority of Christians in the non-Western world. Some have called this the Global South. That was a tipping point. Christianity declined in the West and increased in the non-Western world to the point where there's clearly 60% of the world's Christians are in the non-Western world, and about 40% of the world's Christians are in the West.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio. On every continent are men and women who love the Lord and are building His kingdom. And today is all about the big picture, as part two of a global look at the kingdom of God in the 21st century. Yesterday, Norman, his guest, introduced us to the unheralded success of the gospel across the vast Pacific Ocean and brought us to the shores of Asia. They'll pick up the thread from there. Here's Norm to reintroduce us and get us moving through the jungles, the mountains, the steppes, and the heartland of the world's largest continent.
All right, Norm Nelson here with Compassion Radio, and our guest today, back for a second day, and we're delighted that he is Dr. Charles Farhadian, who is the chairperson of the Religious Studies Department at Westmont College, my alma mater. I'm very proud to have Dr. Farhadian on with us. Welcome back, Charlie, and once again, I have permission to call you that.
Thank you very much, Norm.
As you know, and as our listeners should know by now, we're considering the reach of the gospel all around the world, and we're focusing basically on four continents. Yesterday, we were talking about Oceania, the islands of the Pacific, which are so often overlooked in all of these discussions. But today, we're moving on to the vast continent of Asia. And we're going to be talking about China and India and all of that. So, Dr. Farhadian, Charlie, give us a little bit of an introduction to the geography of this region.
Thanks, Norm. There's many ways to divide up Asia, and as you mentioned a moment ago, this is an immensely diverse and huge region of the world with high population centers. Very exciting place to go if anybody's traveled there. But yeah, generally we could think of Asia as consisting of East Asia, which, for instance, the countries of Japan, both Koreas, China, Taiwan, and then you have South Asia. We think of India as a South Asian nation, Nepal, Pakistan, Bhutan, Bangladesh, and that island nation just south of India, Sri Lanka. And then there is the massive island region and the mainland region of Southeast Asia. Southeast Asia consists of countries like, and I'm not going to name them all, you have mainland Southeast Asian countries like Vietnam, Thailand, Laos, Burma, or Myanmar. And then you have the insular or island nations of Southeast Asia, and those include Indonesia, Philippines, and even the western half of New Guinea. I should mention this for your listeners who don't know, because I think this is really important when we think about Christianity around the world. Since about the mid-1980s, there have been a majority of Christians in the non-Western world. Some have called this the Global South. In other words, that was a tipping point. Sometime in the mid-80s, Christianity declined to an extent in the West and increased in the non-Western world to the point where there's clearly 60% of the world's Christians are in the non-Western world, including Asia, and about 40% of the world's Christians are in the West. And that division, if you will, those statistics are still growing in that region. Someday there might be 70% in the non-Western, only 30%.
At the rate it's going, that's certainly within the realm of possibility. You know, Charlie, I hope this is not too much off track, but we in the West, and I'm speaking essentially, of course, of the U.S., so often we tend to think of ourselves in rather elevated terms when it comes to controlling Christianity. It's almost like we're in charge of the gospel. We've been given the gospel in a very generous way by people from out of our country initially. It was brought here, but then we seem to embrace it in a way that is our possession, and we have not really wrapped our minds around the reality that the center of world Christianity has shifted. It's no longer here in North America. It's in the global South, as you described.
That's right, and a very dramatic statistic, which has been published by Oxford University Press and other reputable publishers, is a number of 57,000 people are leaving the church in the North Atlantic region every week. And the North Atlantic region includes North America and Western Europe. So 57,000 a week are leaving. And yet, on the other hand, there's immense growth outside of the North Atlantic region. So you're right. You're absolutely right.
And I think our celebration of megachurches, in a sense, gives us an awareness, a mistaken awareness, of our still being sort of at the center of everything. But these churches that are megachurches, they may be big for us, but I always laugh about this and say, in China, they would hardly qualify as a good-sized Sunday school class. And, you know, there's a bit of hyperbole there, sure, but I think there's maybe some substance to that observation.
That's right. You'd know better than I about the church in China in terms of experiencing it, but I know that the so-called underground or unregistered church, each of those churches can have several hundreds of people in them. So, of course, you have the registered church, which is the three self-patriotic church. We could talk about that if you like. And then you have the unregistered church. And I know you've talked about this on other shows. These are hundreds and thousands of people. In fact, the statistics are a little bit debatable, but the Pew Charitable Trust estimates there are about 70 million Christians in China, and that's probably a pretty low number.
That's a pretty conservative number, what we've heard. I think also that when we're talking about Asia, very often what happens is India gets squeezed out of the conversation because China is growing at such a rate, but the multiplication of churches in India is absolutely astronomical. And we have a couple of granddaughters who are there right now, and they are just blown away by what they're seeing.
That's right. And it's regional, as you know, in India, and I appreciate you mentioning India. Here's something that maybe your listeners are unaware of, but there's good evidence to point to the fact that St. Thomas, the disciple Thomas, after the death and resurrection of Christ, went all the way into today's South India on the western coast, and he evangelized, and you could say he started the first church. And so the history of Christianity, particularly in Asia, is very, very old, and dates back in many people's mind to the disciple Thomas. You know, the great doubter himself was martyred there, history tells us. We also have in India the first Protestant missionary. Mm-hmm. We always think of William Carey as the first, but that's not correct. Bartholomew Ziegenbalg was there. He was a pious Lutheran, a very warm faith, and he went into the southern part of India and evangelized. And I actually had a chance to go visit his grave, so He died there in southern India.
Where do the nations of Pakistan and Afghanistan fit into this mix? So often we describe them, certainly Afghanistan, as Central Asia. Where do they fit into this mix? I know that the church in Afghanistan is now totally underground. There is nothing left of the visible church in that country. And that has changed just in the period since Sharon and I were there, right after the war in 2001. It's a little bit shocking to see, for all intents and purposes, from a visible point of view, essentially the death of Christianity in a place like Afghanistan. And there are other countries where that's happening. Philip Jenkins talks about this.
That's right. It's horrible, and we don't know what God has in plan for this part of the world. Maybe on a hopeful note, and I don't want to gloss over the trauma and the real tragedy happening for Christians in Afghanistan, Pakistan, and other areas near those countries. But there are seminaries. There's Christian teaching, and there are Christian colleges that are not populated necessarily by Christian students. They'll have few, but they'll also have Muslim students and others, and they're hearing the gospel for the first time. I think of in Pakistan, in Lahore, there's the Foreman Christian College. Foreman Christian College for years was taken back by the government of Pakistan, and then several years ago was given back to the Presbyterian Church.
Dr. Jim Tabby is the rector of that school.
That's right. And they've actually, they've educated some of the elite politicians of Pakistan. And I know that's a mixed bag, but they are allowed to exist. But the tragedy is real. The tragedy is real. And as some of the most extreme religious voices get power in those countries and they want to eliminate the religious minorities, it's very, very difficult for Christians because Christianity has had a long history in that area of the world and it's being de-Christianized, it seems, almost daily. We need to be praying for these people, right?
Absolutely.
Not only Muslims, that they will help to create a civil society, but also Christians who are being persecuted in ways that we in the West will never, never have to endure, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, and you know, on the positive side of this, and there are major positive things to say, the growth of the church continues in China, unabated. We keep thinking, well, this must be the end. It's going to end someday, but it just keeps rolling along. And Cher and I saw the evidence of this, certainly in Beijing, and we became aware of it once more as we were in that country. But also the church in Korea, as well as the churches in China, are taking this responsibility on themselves, and that is to communicate the gospel all the way across the old Silk Road through Central Asia in what is called the Back to Jerusalem movement. And it's a very exciting thing to see. And what they tell us, they'll say this to us and then wait for a reaction on our part. They will say, you know, you can't do this. And by you, they mean you Americans. You American Christians cannot do what we are doing and what we have fully purposed to continue to do, and that is to carry the gospel across this totally Islamicized region of the world. And when we ask them, well, why do you say that? They say, because you do not know how to suffer. You need comfortable hotels. You need this. You need that. All we need is, you know, a pair of sandals and maybe a coat and a Bible, and off we go, and we can get it done because we know how to suffer. And
That's right.
Is such an amazing reality to have thrown in our faces, although they're not doing it in that way, but they're simply saying, you're soft. You in the West have become soft. We are not soft. We can
That's
do
right.
this. We can bear the difficult aspects of communicating a gospel all across Asia. This, to me, is a major challenge of a positive kind. I wish that we could get strong again like we were at one time, and maybe we will. That's part of our purpose here at Compassion Radio. But, Charlie, I'm veering from the subject a little bit. Tell us about what God is doing in some of these places that usually are a bit off the map. China is well publicized. Certainly India is being recognized increasingly as the church grows there. What about places like Bangladesh, Myanmar, Sri Lanka, which has had a civil war until rather recently? What about places like that?
One thing related to what you just said and in answer to your question, I think it's always important, if we don't know how to pray, pray for those who are losing their life because of their faith.
Yes.
We need to pray for the church. And the church is not always the mega church. We have to think of these small countries sometimes or small populations of Christians, whether in Pakistan, Afghanistan, and pray for them that pastors will be strong and wise.
Compassion Radio is active in countries all around the world. Here's how we're making a difference in the world this month.
Those of you who are longtime listeners know that for many, many years we've had an annual project of raising money for Bibles for China. And we've always done it over Christmas, and we are doing the project again this year, but now we're doing it for Christmas. The pastor shepherd of thousands of house churches to whom our Bibles are going to go has asked if we could get the Bibles to him in time this year to give to people at Christmas. We know that for every Bible we place, there will be four or five people come to know Christ just through the placement of one Bible. We know that there are 20,000 to 30,000 new Christians in China every day. Now, can you help us to get the Bibles to China for Christmas this year? Also, as you've heard us tell you, there are well over 100,000 Chinese missionaries that are moving out across the ancient Silk Road trade routes.
to take back all of that Islamic territory for Jesus Christ. They understand that this Back to Jerusalem movement could help stop extremist Muslim terrorism right in its tracks. Now, as an added incentive to send your money for Bibles for China this year, we want to provide you, at your request, for your gift of $25 or more, a very inspiring book that Norm has chosen for you specifically called The Grave Robber, or How Jesus Can Make Your Impossible Possible. It's written by Mark Batterson, who's a New York Times bestselling author. This is a 275-page paperback book, and it reveals the incredible power of the seven miraculous signs of Jesus that are found in the Gospel of John. These are not only things Jesus did in the past, but also something he wants to do now in the present. Mark shares true stories of people who are witnessing the countless miracles, big and small, that we take for granted every day. These miracles point us toward the one who healed the sick, calmed the storm, and even raised the dead. And if you long to see God work in miraculous ways today, you will love this faith-building, life-giving message. This is recommended by Pastor Rick Warren and by Roma Downey and Mark Burnett. So make this your first Christmas project this year. Give for Bibles for China, and then request for your gift of $25 or more this wonderful book called The Grave Robber.
Will you join us? 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we're on the internet at CompassionRadio.com. And now, back to the program.
One thing that has been really exciting for me, looking at a map right now of Asia, and I'm thinking, wow, what, you know, how do you make sense of this amazing area? Well, in my travels and my research, that God is working without missionaries. Now, I teach mission. I shouldn't be saying that. But in a sense, well, this is what happened. I have been in countries throughout that region where people have stopped me, not even knowing who I was, and they tell me that in their dream, and these were Muslims, they would say, hey, Jesus showed up in my dream and said to follow me. Now, I've been to Muslim countries throughout Asia, and I've heard that story several times. Jesus appears, no missionary, but Jesus appears, says, follow me. I was once in northern India. The monsoons had wiped out the road, and northern India probably has some of the lowest percentage of Christians in India. And a man and I were talking. The road was washed out. We got out of the cars, and he brought out of his pocket a Gideon's New Testament. He started to read the prayer for conversion in the back. And I said, sir, do you believe that? He says, yes. I said, well, you're a Christian. He said, I'm not a Christian. And I said, well, I believe that, sir. And then I said, well, you believe this, don't you? And he says, yes, I do. And he says, I'm a follower of Christ. And he said, one day I was asleep at night, and Jesus came to me and said, follow me and follow me alone. You know, not the 330 million Hindu gods, but follow me alone. And he did. So that was something interesting. And I guess here's one thing I would mention is those who are following Christ, but maybe not even using the name Christian. It's a challenge to our concepts, isn't it?
It is. Charlie, once again, taking the definition of Asia in the broadest sense, talking about Afghanistan, Iran, and so forth, how do you appraise the future prospects of the church in a country like Afghanistan, where it has been driven entirely underground? That can be a strength. But because the church is not visible, it's very difficult for us to have a sense that it's even there. Now, we know it's there because we know people that are in that underground church. We know that in Iran, supposedly, the church in Iran is growing faster than any church on earth at this moment through these dreams and visions. But how do you appraise their future?
Well, you know, it's obviously impossible to tell, but I will say this, you know, every Christian has to make their own decision regarding the way that they understand their role with the political realm. Some Christians in the United States need to maybe wrestle with or embrace their ability to pick up the phone, write letters, but to engage their congresspeople and say, look, we have Christian brothers and sisters, or we know of Christian churches there, and we want you to apply political pressure. Now, I know that might sound unchristian. I mean, everyone has a different view of the engagement of Christianity and politics. But I want to say, if this is the body of Christ worldwide and it's suffering in certain parts, then we need to, as a church in the United States, show solidarity.
Oh,
that could
absolutely
be like you and your wife, Norm. You two have been so courageous to go and put your face and your body there, being physically present. That's so wonderful. For those who can't make it, to apply maybe some pressure through political channels or through NGOs. That's what we would want, I imagine, if we were struggling, right? And maybe one
Absolutely.
Day, I mean, this would be horrible, but maybe one day Christianity will decrease so much that we'll need the help of our Christian brothers and sisters in China and in India to show solidarity to us. That probably won't happen, but I think we can all resonate with the idea of needing to support each other in Christian faith and solidarity.
You know, we're jumping a little bit, once again, extending the boundary of Asia. But I'm thinking right now of the area around Mosul in northern Iraq, which, according to a news release just the other day that I read, indicated that that great city and the wonderful monastery just outside St. Benham, where I picked up postcards that they were distributing back a few years ago saying, pray for Iraq, pray for Iraq. That monastery is now shut down. And the Christian population of Mosul is no more. It's gone. And there are around 60,000 Christians in that area just a matter of a year ago. And today they are, as we speak, totally gone. And the culprit in all of this that made this possible was the war, the Iraq War. Now, that can be interpreted as a political statement. It is. But I'm telling you, it is absolutely the truth. The war in Iraq has resulted in the purging of the Christian community from the borders of that country, with only a few lighthouses left to shine in that country. And I am just heartsick as I think of standing on the wall of Nineveh, there at the tomb of Jonah, standing there myself and reading that ISIS, this terrorist group, has destroyed that tomb just in the last few weeks. It is just heartbreaking. Yeah. So, Charlie, we have work to do, don't we, in that region of the world?
You know, Norm, and I know that you would agree maybe with all of this or part of this, but we have to also think of the church as one.
Yes.
And it's so easy for us, isn't it, as we embrace our denominations and, and our churches, because they're meaningful to us, and that's fine. But it's very easy for us to make this psychological mistake and say, well, out of sight, out of mind, those are not the kind of Christians that I'm familiar with. They use candles, or they have clerics, or they have a high view of this or a low view of that. So I think one of the mistakes that we make psychologically and spiritually, theologically, all of that together, is to think those people are separate from us.
Yeah, that's right. That's a grave mistake. And the ministry of showing up that we've referred to so many times here at Compassion Radio, where Sharon and I have had the privilege of going into places where the church is under stress and being persecuted, and the reaction that people have when they say, we thought you had forgotten us. Thank you, thank you, thank you for coming. Why would you come? It's because you love us, you care for us. That is so important. So we need to add that along with our prayers. And this certainly is a calling that we have across that great continent of Asia. Charlie, is there anything that we have not touched on, as we've really touching down lightly on these continents, but it is helpful. Is there anything further that you need to say?
Well, I think what makes Asia unique in the world, it is a multi-scriptural context, which means that there are very important religions that have emerged out of Asia and nowhere else. Buddhism, Hinduism, even Islam, you can say, depending on how you understand Asia and the Middle East. And that is to say, it provides a very challenging context because it's the place of the origin of those really, really important traditions, religious traditions. You don't find that in Africa, do you?
No, you don't.
You don't find
that
in the Pacific Islands. And of course, the only religion you really find in North America that emerged there of any significance, I think, is Mormonism, unless you want to consider Jehovah's Witnesses and Seventh-day Adventists. But I'd say the Mormon Church is the most vigorous North American movement.
They certainly are. And so often I look at what they're doing and I look at what we're attempting to do here on Compassion Radio. It's very difficult. I wonder if we understand the challenge that we're facing there. They are one among the most wonderful people that we have ever known. the Mormon people around the world, and we meet them wherever we go, and they are always kind and hospitable. But we need to realize that we have a message that we need to proclaim. We need to be at it, at the task.
That's right.
Charles Farhadi, and thanks so much for being with us again on day two of our survey of what God is doing on the continents of the world. It's been great to have you on today, and thanks so much, Charlie.
Thank you so much, Norm. I really enjoyed it.
We hope you've all heard the word that this year our Bibles for China campaign is in October instead of in December, because the pastor through whom the Bibles will be distributed has asked if we could get the Bibles to him so that he can give them as Christmas gifts to the Chinese Christian who's longing for one. So give your best gift for our Bibles for China campaign today.
Remember, your gift of even $6 can provide new Bibles to Christian Chinese missionaries who are spreading out all across Central Asia. $60 provides 10 Bibles. $120 provides 20 Bibles, $600 provides 100 Bibles, and so on. And during the month of October, as we launch our Operation God's Word project, we'd love to send you, for your gift of $25 or more, and at your request, the special book titled The Grave Robber: How Jesus Can Make Your Impossible Possible, by Mark Batterson. As you probably know, he's a New York Times best-selling author, and for good reason. This special offer is a 275-page paperback and reveals the incredible power of the seven miraculous signs of Jesus found in the Gospel of John. Those miracles point us to the one who healed the sick, calmed the storm, and even raised the dead. If you long to see God work in miraculous ways today, then you're going to love this faith-building, life-giving book. It's recommended by Rick Warren, Roma Downey, and Mark Burnett, among many others. Request yours today. Just give us a call, 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. You can also give through our secure website, CompassionRadio.com. And be sure to ask about this month's special offer when you contact us today. You'll also find plenty of interesting information in our Facebook community. That's Facebook.com/CompassionRadio. I'm Bram Floria. We'll see you tomorrow.